This is our cultural heritage that Lord Chaitanya has given us. The congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. When in doubt, you should chant Hare Krishna. And when you're not in doubt, you should chant Hare Krishna. This is what makes Kali Yuga livable, and also you can make your life a complete success even amidst these very crazy and ignorant times. I wonder how many of you actually know what you're doing with your life. I wonder how many of you actually feel that your life is under control, under your control, and that you are actually pushing the buttons in your life. And how many are just living mindlessly, as if they have all the time in the world to fool around and be creative and indulge. Some of you can be wasting time like that in a very obvious way, and others can be doing it in a very respectable, socially accepted way. But whether you're doing it in a radical way or a socially acceptable way, the bottom line is the same. Life is being wasted. We have to watch this, especially in Perth. Perth is a part of the world where you can just nicely hide away from the rest of the world and just lock yourself in your own little realm. Everything goes at your speed, your pace. No great challenges, no great upsets. Just going on with the day-to-day affairs. Looking after the body and the mind. No great ambitions, but no great problems either. Just doing what's necessary to give as much satisfaction to your body and mind as possible without working too hard, without going off to the extremes one way or another. So Perth is a good place for that. Where you can pretend that there are no great problems in life. This is very irresponsible to have this kind of vision. And this kind of vision is a great waste of your human potential. Tonight we want to discuss what it means to be a responsible human being. I know you would all like to be responsible human beings. So, let us put aside for the moment what you think your stature is in Krishna consciousness. Whether you're not practicing Krishna consciousness at all, whether you've been practicing for a long time or a short time, and whether or not you've had your ups and downs in that practice. Let's just look at your human potential and let's see what you're doing with it. How much is your life the product of social customs and formularies? How much is your life molded by social traditions about what is acceptable? If your life is molded by what is socially acceptable, that means you'll live a very ignorant life. Because these days, ignorance is very socially acceptable. If you try to think at all about the ultimate issues in life, that's very strange. What you should be worrying about, according to social tradition, is how you're going to get a nice job that gives you a good salary, how you're going to get a nice home somewhere, and how you're going to meet somebody to stay with at least for a few years, and together you can just pass the days and nights. That is what is considered to be socially acceptable. You're supposed to take into account the needs of your body, take into account the needs of your mind, and then dedicate your life's energies to fulfilling those physical and mental needs. And hopefully, it is hoped, along the way you'll have some fun, some good times, amidst the bad times. But the bad times shouldn't be so bad. Maybe your good times aren't so great, but at least the bad times aren't so bad. And this way you feel a little bit successful about your life. You've had the same job for 5 years and you haven't been made redundant. You've been in the same relationship for 2 years and looks like it might go on for another year. These are the successes when considered from today's point of view. Of course, those of you from India, you will have a different reaction to this. You'll be saying, oh, but our life is not like that. Oh, that is the Australians. But we are coming from India. We know better. But you'll be giving birth to children here. Or maybe you've already given birth to children here. And they'll grow up with the Australian standard. So temporarily, you can hold your head up and say, no, we are not like that. We are very responsible. But you're living here in Australia, that means your descendants will grow up with the Australian point of view. What are you going to do about that? You may try to tell your descendants, now, our grandparents in Gujarat would never do like that. And what will your children tell you? Oh, but that's your grandparents. We are Australians. We are different. We don't want to follow those customs from India. We're here in Australia. So what are you going to say? Oh, well, just study hard. Get a good computer job. That's all you can say. So my point is, if you try to make of your life what is socially acceptable, you will live a very ignorant life. You'll have to put blinders on, and people will applaud that. Oh, just see how your eyes are covered. Wonderful. Those are the people who are praised. You're not thinking about anything else except your physical and mental needs. Very good, very good. And as soon as you start to think about the real things in life, people look at you like you're crazy. That is a fact. What's wrong with you? Why are you thinking so much? You have some kind of emotional problem? No one thinks these days. Just act for your body, act for your mind. Don't think about it, though. We need some kind of association for those who want to go against the grain. We need to form an association of those who want to use their intelligence. There must be some people who recognize that human intelligence is meant for more than just economic development, political and economic arrangements, and sense gratification. We want to form the association of those who want to develop high qualities, divine qualities. That will be very impressive. Divine qualities mean that, first of all, you're willing to think about your life and take responsibility for it. Not that you just mindlessly indulge. Just think about that. To mindlessly indulge. That's considered a great thing by social standards today. If you tell somebody, oh, last weekend, you know, I just mindlessly indulged. Oh, wow. That's really great. Tell me about it. I want to do the same thing. In today's social traditions, to mindlessly indulge sounds wonderful. But suppose some of your friends asked you, well, what did you do last weekend? And you said, well, all night, Friday and Saturday, I thought about what is the goal of life. What a wasted weekend. This is the way things are these days. What are you going to do? Understand that your human life has great potential, the greatest potential, and try to capture that potential. Try to purify yourself of contamination and revive your love of God. That is your real goal in life. That heritage has been given to you by Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself coming to teach you how to be Krishna's devotee. And Lord Chaitanya has made pure love of God very easily obtainable, especially by coming together and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Three words, Hare Krishna and Rama. That should be your life and soul. Devotees of Krishna actively cultivate the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That is their salvation. That is their essence. That is their everything. The chanting of the holy names. When you chant Hare Krishna, your dormant love of Krishna becomes revived. That is the basic fact. Now, you should all want to revive your love of Krishna. You do have a loving capacity, but in material life, that loving capacity is being dissipated in material ways. You're trying to love matter. You're trying to love the arrangements of matter. None of those things can satisfy you. Only love of Krishna can satisfy you. When you come to this realization, then you're ready to make something of your life. Don't think you have forever to make your life in proper shape. Time is passing. You all may remember when you were little kids, but very soon you remember when you were a young adult. Time moves so quickly, even in Perth. What will you be thinking at the end of your life? Will you have so many regrets? Oh, I wasted so much time spacing out. I thought it was really cool being indecisive. I thought it was really cool just floating along. I wasn't the best person. I wasn't the worst person. I thought it was just kind of cool floating along in a nice, ignorant way without harming anybody. No, what's wrong with being ignorant? You don't hurt anybody. I know a lot of nice, ignorant people. I know a lot of nice people who don't know anything about who they are or why they're here. Why do you Hare Krishnas always stress knowledge? So what if you know? Does that mean that you enjoy? The materialist thinks, let me just stress enjoyment. Never mind if I'm ignorant. If I think I'm enjoying, I don't mind being ignorant. Whereas the Krishna Bhakta, the Krishna conscious person, knows there cannot be real enjoyment without knowledge, divine knowledge. The divine knowledge that Lord Krishna speaks allows you to enjoy. Through ignorance, we simply suffer. For the moment, we may think we're enjoying, but there's always so many problems. You have to pay for everything. There's no free lunches in this world. It's like Shivananda Prabhu's son. He likes to play basketball. But now why does he have crutches and he's limping around? That's all part of it. When you look on the TV at the basketball games, see the pictures of the basketball players, it looks so like ballet. But it's also part of the reality. Ripped tendons, ripped torn ligaments. You want to use your body in a certain way, you have to pay the price. For everything physical, there's a price to pay, and for everything mental, there's a price to pay. You take on a new job to get more money, then there's a reaction in stress. You enter into a relationship in order to provide solace for your mind, but there's also so much anxiety. Why doesn't that person do what I want? Why isn't that person there when I need him or her? Is this going to last? So much anxiety. To escape all the anxiety, materialists have to take intoxication. That becomes a normal part of your life. And that's the way it is today. Intoxication. Make merry by forgetting. And of course, you have to pay for the intoxication. So now you have a society, a material society, of work, intoxication, and sense gratification. That's all you have to look forward to. When you're 13, that's what you have to look forward to. When you're 23, 33, 43, 53, that's all. Is this what your life is going to be? Is this what you want? Some of you should consider how to get a grip on your life and make some commitment. Don't be a fool in the hands of time. Fool in the hands of time means, well, I don't have to commit myself, you know. We'll see how it goes. A little bit of material life, a little bit of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. That's being a fool in the hands of time. You can do that in your 20s, but you can also do it in your 30s and 40s.
Well, sure, I'll consider a little bit of this spiritual life, which, yeah, sounds good, but as you know, I'm an important man with many responsibilities also. I mean, it's not like I'm an unproductive person. Oh, God forbid. I've executed many important tasks in my life. Actually, the last time my company had an evaluation, I was appreciated very much. We're always trying to add some false importance to our life. We're always trying to feel that I'm worth it in the eyes of others. But no one is trying to understand how they are worth it in the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see, whether it's a material life or spiritual life, sense gratification is there. Material life means that you think about your own sense gratification, and spiritual life means you think about the sense gratification of Krishna. So in bhakti yoga, we don't deny sense gratification. We simply worry about the sense gratification of the right person. And because we are part of Krishna, naturally we'll be included. So we don't have to worry about ourselves. Material life means that I forget I'm part of Krishna and I simply worry about my own sense gratification. And part of my sense gratification consists of the gratification of those who are related to my body. That's all, you know, the extended selfishness. These are my family members. These are my country persons. These are my neighbors. I'm worried about them. Because they're in relation to your body. Why don't you worry about everyone? You ever tried that, to worry about everyone? You don't have that power. So therefore you compromise. Well, I'll just worry about those who are related to my body. See how limited your vision becomes in the bodily conception of life? You can't love everyone. You can't worry about everyone. So you just say, all right then, I'll just deal with those who are related to my body, permanently or temporarily, in this life, permanently or temporarily. If you're in relation to my body and mind, I'll worry about you. In this way, your world becomes so small. And you think you're going to be satisfied like that. Everyone's heart is longing to be appreciated and cared for. That's what you all want. You dream about that. Won't someone please care for me and appreciate me? You'll do anything to get that. Anything. This real appreciation and care comes from Krishna. The process of bhakti yoga is to open you up to the care and appreciation of Krishna. Because we are all parts of Krishna. You cannot get the kind of satisfaction, love, and care you want from matter or material arrangements. But we're so foolish, we try. Whether in a very polished, cultured way, like material life in India, or in a very gross way, like in Australia. In any case, it's basically the same thing. Now, we have to ask ourselves, how much time do you think you have? Say. Maybe you feel, well, I'm very young. Graham, maybe he thinks he's young. He's got so many options, right? You got time enough, right? Yeah. No need to pressure yourself making decisions, right? Yeah, it's Perth, right? That's why you left Switzerland to get away from all that, you know, pressure, right? Yeah, life happens easy, yeah? The days come, the nights come. No real challenges. You're still alive. No great problems, right? Maybe no great joys, but no great problems either. What more could you want, right? Everyone can think like that. Maybe some of our guests, they're thinking, well, I'm sure life will have something good for me. I'm sure that, because I'm a good person, I think anyway, somehow or other there'll be something nice. What is the main thing that's going on in life? The main thing that's happening in material life is that time is taking everything away. Look in the mirror and see how you are now. And you should know, time is taking it. But you don't feel it. The robbery, the burglary of time is so subtle you don't notice it. You're being plundered and you don't feel it. The intelligent person tries to fight back. And in order to fight back, you have to separate yourself from social tradition. Because those social traditions are blinding you. The social traditions are causing you to make huge mistakes with your life. It's like you're purposely, consciously jumping into a wild, rushing river. When you jump into a wild river, the rivers have grades. What's a grade 5? Is a real white water. No one goes rafting here. For rafting purposes, the rivers are graded, I think, from 1 to 5. You've done it? Yes. So I think 5 means white water. It's just, that means the river is moving so swiftly that the waves are always white because it's moving so fast. So if you jump into a fast rushing river, you're going to be swept away. And that's exactly what happens when you jump into material life, which is the river of time. You are swept away. And it happens so quickly you don't feel it. Just like the way this earth moves. Who knows the speed that this earth is revolving? No one knows? 24,000 what? Kilometers an hour. You don't feel it. In fact, you think the sun is moving and the earth is staying still. You think the sun is rising and setting and the earth is at a standstill. When actually, the earth is moving. How fast does a jet plane go? 1,000 kilometers an hour. Now, you know about it when you're in a 747. You're flying from Perth to Melbourne or Sydney. You don't think you're standing still. You feel the plane moving. It shakes sometimes and goes up and down. You hear the noise of the engines. But this earth is moving at 24,000 kilometers per hour and you don't feel it. Just see how great your senses are. Just think. We don't feel time moving our life. In fact, we mistakenly think the body is growing, when actually you have different bodies and these bodies are changing. It's not that they're growing. What you actually call growth is the change of the body. Under the influence of time, the material body is changing at every second. But you say, oh, it's growing. No, it's changing. and you're trying to be happy with this changing machine known as the body. It's very easy just to ignore what's happening in reality and think that because everyone else is being ignorant, it must be good. I mean, why should I try to be different by thinking? Why should I try to be resolute about my life? Who here in their 20s wants to be resolute about life? It's too early. Now, when you're in your 20s, it's time for experimentation, experiencing. Then maybe when you're in your 30s and 40s, you make some decision. It doesn't work like that. In your 20s, you say you're leaving yourself open for so many experiences, but actually your life is just molded by intoxication, so many illicit affairs. And then suddenly you're in your 30s and things are forced upon you. Social obligations are forced upon you. You can't avoid them. In your 20s, you can avoid them. But you'll always see, by the time the 30s come around, things, social responsibilities are forced on you. Right? Happens every time. Young men in their 20s, they get a girlfriend and they think, oh, we're just going to enjoy irresponsible life together. It's really nice. No commitment. It'll always be like this, the boy thinks. But what happens as the girl starts reaching 25, 28, sooner or later she says, hey, time for some commitment in the relationship and time for some financial commitment also. It always happens. And the guy's caught completely off guard. Well, I mean, I thought we just had kind of like a, you know, a fun relationship of just, you know, non-committal, you know, enjoyment, you know? No, doesn't work like that. Nature doesn't allow it. Because the man and woman are materially programmed by material nature to expand the population. So the woman wants to nest. And the guy's wondering, hey, what is this? I thought we were just little birds buzzing around in the forest together, jumping from tree to tree, and all of a sudden you want to make a nest. And then he's caught. Either he helps her build a nest, or he loses his sense gratification. Like, oh, well, what can I do? I'll help build a nest. Then he's caught. Social responsibilities descend upon you. Even if the relationship doesn't last, which half the time it doesn't last, or more than half the time it doesn't last, still you're caught in the social traditions. Better that you think about these things and make a resolute decision before you become entangled. Still, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even if you are entangled now, you can easily get out by chanting Hare Krishna. That is the power of the holy name. Unentangled or completely entangled, you can become free by chanting Hare Krishna. Becoming free doesn't mean you always have to reject your social responsibilities. Chanting Hare Krishna will refine your acceptance of responsibility so that it becomes very simple, clear-cut, and not an obstacle for your spiritual development. So it's not that to practice Krishna consciousness you have to walk away from all your material duties. No. Simply accept the prime responsibility of becoming enlightened, and then you'll know what to do with the other aspects of your life. So we are appealing to you, don't be a walking dead person. And I know it's hard not to be a walking dead. Because society will back you up if you say, I'm going to be brain dead. You'll get all encouragement from society to be a fool. But to be Krishna conscious, you'll get no support, practically speaking. Where's the government office for helping those who want to be enlightened? who's the minister of enlightenment for us today? You would think that every civilized society wants to encourage at least a segment of the population to think about the ultimate issues, to come up with ultimate knowledge. No. The government feels its obligation is to help you economically develop, to help you not to have too many children. But to enlighten yourself and your children? No, that's not the government's job. In this way, we can see ignorance is a normal thing. Of those of you who have material friends, maybe some of you have, of course, everyone here has material relations. Maybe some of you have material friends, even material romantic partners. Why don't you ask them sometimes? You can make this test. Ask them. Don't you think we should be tired of being ignorant? They'll look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean? You go to school, don't you? I've been to school. I mean, isn't it time that we got tired of just not knowing who we are and why we're here? They'll look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean who you are and why you're here? Why do you care about that? Anyway, here's a drink. You'll be all right. Sounds like you're feeling lonely because I didn't call you last night. I'm sorry. Let's go to the movies. I hear there's something good on TV tonight. That's the kind of loving affection you get. The darkness of ignorance. Krishna consciousness is for those who want to come to the light, who want to develop divine qualities, who want to understand mind and sense control, self-discipline, transcendental knowledge, and pure love of God. If you want these things, then please practice Krishna consciousness. Those of you who already know sufficiently about Krishna consciousness, it's time to make a commitment. Why waste your life? What do you think you're waiting for? You won't find anything better. Therefore, you should better yourself in Krishna consciousness. When you make a commitment to Krishna's service, then the relationship really begins. You yourself don't want to involve yourself deeply in a relationship where there's no commitment. Well, if you're intelligent, you'll be like that. If you're going to have a relationship with someone, you want commitment. Similarly, why can't we commit ourselves to Krishna's service? What are we holding back? Why? We want to increase the number of persons in Perth who are committed to bhakti yoga, Krishna's service, transcendental loving service of the Lord. That will be the greatest thing you can do in your life. More important than graduating from university or getting a job promotion, more important than a material marriage or buying a home or having children, more important than all that is that you advance in transcendental love of God. Then, when you do all the other things necessary for taking care of your body and your family, it'll all be in perspective. But without transcendental love of Krishna, your material activities are useless, and you know it. You know it's all going to be taken away. So let's be for real. Let us spend our time chanting Hare Krishna, serving Krishna, spreading Krishna's glories, understanding Krishna, developing knowledge of Krishna. In this way, we won't be victims of time. In this way, we'll have a complete grip on our life. and will actually be successful. Any questions? Those of you from India, you can think, well, we're not like this. We understand these things. Okay. Then you're going to have to repeat what I said to your children. You may say, oh, Swamiji, we are knowing all about Krishna. We know. Okay. Even if that is true, what are you going to tell your kids who grew up in Australia? So you have to learn these things as I explain them, if not to help you, but to help your children. The things that you take for granted, your children will question. Maybe not immediately, but as they grow older, they'll question. They'll start to think, why can't we be like the other children? Why do we have to be so restricted? They look like they're having fun. What are you going to say? Oh, this is not done in Gujarat or wherever. This is not done in Calcutta. But now India is changing so much, everything is done there. Any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, what is the process where somebody is going to work and they have the family responsibility and other things? So what should be the minimum type of thing they should do to keep them engaged in Krishna consciousness?
They should work to maintain the family, because the family has to be maintained, the body has to be maintained. But that should not be their main goal in life. Their main goal should be to save as much time as possible for Krishna conscious activities. And their work should not simply be for bodily maintenance. Then it becomes very dry. Their work, a portion of it should be for spreading the glories of Lord Krishna. Then the work won't feel like such a burden. They shouldn't try for difficult goals to achieve in the working world, which cause so much stress, take up so much time. Do the necessary. And always think, how can I save time for my devotional activities? Anything else? Any one of you younger Australians want to defend the uncommitted life? Graham, you want to defend the uncommitted life? Got plenty of time ahead, right? If I asked you, how can you best use your life right now, what would you say? Part of the day, right?
Yeah.
And what about the rest of the day? Okay, so then, if you know that's the best thing, you should do it. What is the use in having intelligence if you simply sit on it? The purpose of intelligence is to carry you forward.
All right. Why does it happen we have intelligence, we know something is right, and still we can't do it?
No determination. That's one of the symptoms of living in Kali Yuga. The determination is very weak due to so much material contact. If you want your determination to increase, you've got to remove yourself a bit more from material contact. Because that material contact, materialistic association, corrodes your spiritual determination. You know, when you're at the temple, when you're around strong devotees, you, yes, 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 certainly, this is the way to go. Then you go back amongst your materialistic association and you get snapped back into your social conditioning. Yeah, Krishna consciousness is a nice philosophy, but then there's life, the realities of life, right?
The thing is that if you've got a little bit of knowledge of the philosophy, then it's a little bit harder to kind of delude yourself to the extent where you start going, it's only Krishna consciousness here. Doing all these, you know, my job, doing all this, doing all that, movies, do this, whatever. And yet, there's something very sad about that I'm always aware of. It is a waste of time. I know it.
When do you chant your japa? In the morning?
Usually, yeah.
Try to increase the quality of your chanting and you'll find your determination increases. Try to chant your rounds every morning, first thing in the morning. Get up early, chant your rounds. Then you won't have the ability to stay out late at night at the movies. You notice when you go to the movies, it just takes over your mind. I can never surrender to that. You know, this big screen just swallows up your mind. For people who don't know what to do with their minds, they like that. They want to escape into the big screen. But for anybody who knows what to do with the mind, you hate it. My mind is meant for thinking of Krishna. I don't want a big screen, you know, full of Hollywood filth to swallow up my mind. And I also resent the fact that I'm supposed to surrender my mind to some world created by some fool in Hollywood. I can't do it. You have to have some sense of self-worth and integrity, you know? This is the problem. In the age of Kali, this present degraded age, very few people have a sense of self-worth and integrity. You shouldn't allow yourself to be sucked into so many destructive situations. Why do you need... Okay, not that we're picking on you or singling out one thing, but you mentioned the movies. What do you need to go to the movies for? You got to pay for it. For what? What does it do to your life?
I like watching Kung Fu movies.
I'm not singling out, you know, just one thing. I'm just using it as an example. You want to increase your determination, then increase the quality of your chanting. Ask yourself some serious questions. Where is your life headed? What is your life anyway? What are you doing here in this world? Based on reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, ask yourself those questions and then answer them. Try to fulfill the highest ambitions of your life. Why live uselessly? It's not that everyone has to live in the temple. You can practice Krishna consciousness at home, but you must have strong association. Increase the spiritual content of your life, and your determination will increase. Make a conscious plan to do that. All of you have such determination when you want to. Such drive. You've got to rescue that from the clutches of materialistic tradition. I can feel it. Yeah, I can do it. You can. I'm going to cut all the wishy-washiness out of my life, go for what I know is best, even if I know it'll be a little sacrifice. Then Krishna consciousness will become very real for you. And you'll be more satisfied with yourselves because you're acting according to integrity. People today have no sense of self-integrity. They really don't care about themselves. That's why they allow themselves to just drift along. They don't care about themselves. What to speak of others? It's like, if you cared for yourself, what would you do? Seriously, you would do that, wouldn't you? But society has trained us all to be irresponsible. Society has destroyed our brains through so much television and movies and frivolous activities. So we can't get a grip on ourselves. And we think that's normal, to just be so spacey and uncommitted, lazy about our own self-realization. We think that's all right. Well, you know, this is just a stage of life I'm going through. We rationalize it in so many ways. Any other questions? Yes? Treat Krishna better than you treat yourself. You know how to please yourself, right? Now, at least treat Krishna as good as you treat yourself. You know what I mean? And do that every day, through thick and thin. And you'll defeat selfishness. It's a very good question. You have to recognize what your conditioning is and revolt. It's fun. You can think, for 19 years I lived a selfish life. Now I'm going to revolt against it. I'm going to give to Krishna. Doesn't that sound exciting? Huh? You've already tried living a selfish life and you found out how boring it is, right? When you were a young teenager, you decided, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to please myself, right? Wasn't it boring? That's why you came to Krishna consciousness at a young age. But now that you came at a young age, you must take advantage of your good fortune. You have the good fortune, but you must use it. Don't just hang out in Krishna consciousness. Move forward. And you're right, to do that you have to leave aside the selfishness. Krishna is not for your satisfaction, you are for Krishna's satisfaction. And then automatically you'll be satisfied. Learn to love devotional service. You got lots of energy, don't you? Give it to Krishna's service. It's fun. Every day you come before the Gornitai deities and you beg, how can I give all my energy to you? It's exciting. Anything else? Yes?
Sometimes I think that we cannot improve quality of our service because of some weakness of our material nature. If I'm a musician, I can be a good bhajan, but if I'm not good at something, I cannot improve. And in that situation, should we try to work on our weaknesses sort of separately?
Chant the holy name with attention. You're not just a musician. That's the unimportant part of the bhajan, the musical artist group. The main thing is you're chanting without offense. So work on that.
But as I said, from my experience, I can approach some change only when I really, really minimize all my the rest of the duties, practically to the point when I'm neglecting this. Then change comes quickly. But I cannot go like this for a long time.
What happens?
I'm coming back to my duties and I'm losing that effect of chanting.
What are your duties?
I have to still work, I have to maintain my daughter, I have to service some temple. That's why time to time...
Service in the temple is devotional service.
Time to time when I'm going away from the earth, and then what I'm doing, I'm chanting, I'm reading books. Then it quickly happens for me. That's my experience.
Make your life as full of devotional service as you can. Temple duties are devotional service. It's not that you have to go away from Perth just to chant. There are 9 processes of devotional service. It's like Maharaj Ambarish did. Don't have a selfish conception of devotional service. Give it to Krishna and you'll be happy. Your material duties are very small. Accept that you have some material duties and blissfully go about your Krishna consciousness. Okay? Make peace. You have some material duties. Okay, do them. Now, and go about your Krishna consciousness. What's the big deal?
My question is that sometimes I cannot rectify a situation only by...
You need help. Everyone needs guidance. Do you have some devotee or devotees who are giving you guidance? Take it, and there'll be no problem.
Don't feel anyone is interested.
Well, I am interested.
I have to be honest.
I don't believe that, but I am interested. I'm sure that you have others who are interested.
And I have very many questions.
First, you make the chanting of Hare Krishna with attention your main goal in life. So many questions will be answered. Sometimes we are not properly situated in our ashram, and that causes many questions to arise artificially. Maybe we need help for someone to help us by pointing that out. Who else had a question in the back? Yes.
When you try to practice spiritual life, basically there are a lot of anarthas, you know, which are standing in your subconscious. Now, you do get some spiritual benefit, but they pop up at certain times.
Yes.
Now, the thing happens, you try to become a Goswami to a certain extent, and again, you become a Godasa, like you start enjoying again. So, how, it's like a cycle.
How old are you?
24.
Are you single or married? So you should think about how to find a nice Krishna conscious lady and get married. There's no need of all these intricate complications. There are 4 ashrams in civilized life. One of them is married life. And you take it up for the purpose of spiritual purification. You don't have to get mental about it, you know. I tried to be a Goswami, then I'm a Godas, and this and that. You fix your Krishna consciousness, find a Krishna conscious girl, have a Krishna conscious family, and you'll be stable. Okay? There are no Krishna conscious girls available? There are no Krishna conscious girls available? You're studying or you're working? What do you do? Computers and what?
Marketing.
Okay. You get a salary? That means you can rent a house or buy a house, right? All right. You're ready. Most importantly, do you chant Hare Krishna? How much do you chant?
8 rounds.
So gradually increase your chanting. Get up to at least 16 rounds a day.
I used to do that, but it came back to me.
I know, because you need some help. You need a stable family basis. So you improve your chanting once again, and then you talk to the older devotees in Perth. You find some nice Krishna conscious girl and have a stable life. Okay? That is it. Yes.
If everybody followed Krishna consciousness, what would the structure of society be?
Oh, pure bliss. Huh?
Tell me that.
If everyone followed Krishna consciousness, everyone, then you'd have the spiritual world. All you'd hear, wherever you went, are the glories of Krishna. Could you live with that? No crazy shows on television anymore? No, there would be. There can be. You have Krishna conscious shows all the time. On one channel you have Dwarka Leela, on the other channel Mathura Leela, the other channel Braj Leela. You can switch with your remote control. Okay, Dwarka Leela. Gorley though. You turn on the radio, all you hear is Krishna conscious music and lectures. Wouldn't you like that? What do you do?
I'm a naturopathy student.
Naturopathy student. So what is the natural condition of every living entity?
What's your name?
Huh? You tell me. At least you're honest. The natural thing is your original constitutional nature. You're not the body. Okay. So what does the spirit soul do?
It gives you joy. It helps you along with your life. You have to decide what to do.
The spirit soul, in its pure state, exists in pure love with the supreme soul. The pure spirit soul is always in relationship. You try to do it on the bodily and mental plane of life, and it's very difficult. But the spirit soul is always in pure relationship with Krishna. You try to imitate that with your body and mind in the material world, and it's frustrating. Right?
I don't understand.
When you say your spirit soul, you should understand that that means you're saying you're part of the supreme soul. Okay? The spirit soul is always in relationship with the supreme soul. You understand that?
Yeah.
Right. That means you need more knowledge. So this is the real naturopathy to study. And you have to learn how to decontaminate yourself. You know how to do that?
No, I don't know what you mean by decontamination.
How to cleanse yourself of impurities. How to flush out the impurities. Do you know how to do that? Chant Hare Krishna. Do you do that?
No.
You can start. Make the test. You've got nothing to lose, right? Doesn't cost anything. Invest some time and see if it works. Suppose it does work. You'd really be into something, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So give it a try. What could you lose? Your friends?
No.
Your family?
No.
Okay. So try it. Oh, I'll teach you.
Okay.
That was easy. Anyone else here like you? You don't have a clue. Honesty is the beginning. How old are you?
20.
And you've done it all already, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Almost, right? Yeah, that's the way it is for a normal 20-year-old these days. You've done all the things you're going to do, you could do the rest of your life. You've already done it. Right? Now you're 20 and wondering, what more is there in life? So you're smart to be thinking about that. You should be able to understand what I say. You will not find the material happiness you're looking for. It'll always turn out to be problematic. And you've already experienced that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You've heard all the guys and their false promises, right? And you've probably given out a few false promises yourself, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
The normal life, nothing different, right? You weren't the best, you weren't the worst, right?
Exactly.
Okay. But you're looking for something more than that. Feed your intelligence with Krishna conscious knowledge. Chant Hare Krishna. You will see that your life is meant for something else. Look at these Krishna conscious ladies. What do they think? What do you think they're missing?
Anything, actually.
Are they missing out on being exploited and abused? You should think how to elevate your life. The Krishna conscious lady can't be bought off. No price. That's real honor, isn't it? You know, every materialistic person can be bought, right?
To a degree, yeah.
To a degree. No, the price is there. If it's just to a small degree, still, you can be purchased. Because you're in need. You have material desires. So that means you can easily be victimized if you want to fulfill your material desires. You understand? But if you're self-sufficient in your spiritual life, you can't be victimized. Because you have a need, you allow yourself to be in situations in which you get exploited. You understand? Because you're hoping, okay, you may exploit me, but at least I'll get something for what I want for me. Right? That's business, isn't it? Your heart is meant for Krishna's service. Try to understand what is Krishna. Begin your spiritual life. Your life will be a success. What will your family say if suddenly you start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? You live with your parents now?
Yeah.
You can go home tonight, walk in the door, Hi, Mom, hi, Dad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Try it. Why don't you try it? Have some fun.
I think I've memorized the word.
Yes. All right. Anything else? But I hope that some of you will take these things seriously. Our career management talk we've had tonight, lifestyle management, and elevate yourself. Have some integrity, some sense of self-worth. Don't waste your life. Don't waste time. Chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. All right. What's next on the program? Okay. Feasting time. Thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.